The new year is here, and it's the perfect time to kickstart your meditation practice. The Morning Meditation for Women podcast has short, daily guided meditations that will help you start your day with intention and focus, and make it so easy to get you into the habit. Imagine feeling so much more calm and confident in 2025. Follow and listen to Morning Meditation for Women on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
DGS on KMOX. Once again, we're going to be doing our last live show together for 2024 tomorrow. Mid Rivers Mall Drive and Mexico Road out in St. Peter's at the Hardee's. 1 p.m. to 5 p.m. as usual. We'll probably get there about 12:30. If you want to buy our DGS hats for $30, or if you want to buy the Cardinals signed baseballs, Goldschmidt, Waino, and Marmol, you might want to get there a little bit early. We'll have prices on those things for you. Reasonable, less than on eBay. But remember, it's for charity. So if you want to be especially generous, that's great. If you're already one of my people who are showing up to write a check for hundreds, get yourself a damn Waino baseball. You know, why not? Why not? Today's National Hard Candy Day.
Oh, nice.
Huh. Got a fave?
Like a nice Jolly Rancher.
Oh, I love a Jolly Rancher. Jolly Rancher.
Yeah.
Do you remember Jolly Rancher sticks?
Yes, I do, Dave. Delish.
Yes, they were.
And then you can bend them.
Like, yeah, once you point. That's right.
I think I prefer the Humble Lifesaver.
Yeah, those are good too.
Yeah, those aren't bad.
If those count as hard candies, because
they're not. I've never not chewed one though.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, they're not hard candy like a Jolly Rancher is.
What about a Jawbreaker?
I was not allowed to have those
because they'd break your jaw.
Who knows? Either that or, like, I was constantly choking. So, I mean, you've been around me for 8 years. I started choking today. I just swallowed my spit weird and in the office. She didn't even ask anymore. She's just like, he'll
fall on the ground.
He'll make it through. If not, I'll do the show.
He can handle this.
All right,
it'll be fine. Got a least favorite hard candy?
Boy.
I don't like, I don't know if this is a hard candy, but those wedding mints, I guess those go soft pretty quickly. But you know what
I'm
talking about? I've always hated those.
And like on the way out of a restaurant?
The chalky ones?
Yes.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Not a fan.
I don't mind them, but I get the aversion.
I also just hate a normal peppermint. I'm not a peppermint person.
Mm.
I can do minty, but like this time of year, it's like, we put peppermint in the hot cocoa. I'm like, miss me with that. I don't need that.
I like the peppermint chocolate bark, but I only like it now, and I only like it once.
Yeah. You want one big piece for the whole season.
You're like, good.
And
I'm
when
good.
You're done, that's that. Yeah, I get it.
Notice thing is kind of weird. 100 years ago, in 1924, everyone had horses, but only rich people had cars, and now it's the opposite.
It's true.
Right? What poor people do you know that has a horse?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you think that'll be that way down the road? Like, there'll be some new mode of transportation and only the rich people will have cars?
Right. Yeah.
Everyone else will have, you know,
Pegasuses.
Flying motorcycles. I would take a Pegasus. That'd be awesome.
Tell us what's going on with squirrels.
Dude, have you seen this?
I have seen this.
Have you guys seen this, Rach and Andrew?
No, I am behind on the squirrel.
Evolution fast-tracked.
So they just, where was this? I'm forgetting exactly where it was. But they have discovered that squirrels have always had a little bit of like omnivore. Like they would eat other animals, but it's super rare. And maybe they're starving or maybe it's already dead or whatever. But now there are squirrels that are hunting voles and they are becoming predators. Because there's been an outbreak of voles. There's too many of them in this specific area that we're talking about. And because the squirrel's own natural habitat is being ruined by humans, so they have turned to becoming predators. There are predator squirrels.
And are these voles 1 inch by 1 inch?
Basically. Well, I mean, they're all tiny, right? Like, aren't they this little boo-boo-doo?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think 1 inch by 1 inch
made the wretches. Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's a fair assessment of the size.
I forgot that. I forgot about the whole gate that we did there. That's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we took these little guys that just, you know, they run around and get acorns and they'll come up to you and they'll take a peanut out of your hand and now they're hunters.
I don't think squirrels will do that.
They do.
They do. They're very friendly.
I've done it. What are you talking about? Laugh it. I've done it.
I told you about when my parents' neighbor's kid had a squirrel pet, right, Buddy? And, yeah, they had a squirrel named Buddy that, like, just kind of lived in their garage, and they kind of semi-domesticated it. And one day the kids, Buddy had been gone for a little bit, and then the kids walk up to my dad sobbing and holding a mangled squirrel corpse. And they were like, Buddy's dead. He got hit by a car. And so my dad held a funeral for Buddy and
wow.
dug a hole in the yard and buried Buddy 6 feet under. And then Buddy showed back up like 2 days later.
Oh, good.
Yeah, that's so this. I guess this is in so California that I saw it.
Yeah.
And I find this to be so fascinating because, you know, it's cool that they're very adaptable. Right, I mean, we're kind of that way, right? If you put human beings in a weird spot, we'll kill anything. We don't care. It's just fascinating that you think of them in one way. And yeah, I know. Again, they've always had some element of meat eating in their history, but like now they're hunters. These squirrels are hunting other creatures, which is not normal.
I was my next door neighbors had a backyard squirrel, Charlie, who lived in a cage. And I was probably 8 or 9 years old, and I was screwing with him, not being mean, but just like, you know, hey, Charlie, trying to pet him and stuff, putting my fingers through the little holes. And he bit me, and I had to not tell anyone because back then the most terrifying thing in my life was rabies because you had to get 18 shots in your stomach. That was at least the wives' tale. I don't know if that's true or not.
Something like it.
But he bit me pretty hard, and I had to hide it from my parents for like 2 weeks. And every day I was just waiting to start frothing at the mouth.
No.
But I was not going to go through that.
Yeah.
Well, now we know how Dave would react if zombies invaded.
Yeah,
we'd like, I'm not telling
he'll
anybody.
He'll be the one wearing long sleeves all of a sudden for no reason.
Anyone bit?
Yeah. No, it's just a little chilly in here.
Why are you limping, Dave?
Yeah.
You twisted my ankle.
It's a little chilly in here. I'm going to wear long sleeves forever.
Dave, you're looking a little peckish.
I'm good. I feel good.
We know what character Dave is from 28 Days Later.
You know, I've not seen that. I haven't seen any of those.
Oh, they're so good.
It's impossible to watch right now.
I'm excited. It's impossible to watch?
Yeah, it's not on any of the streaming services.
It seems weird.
And it's not in print as a DVD. And I think all of the DVDs you can buy are like 80, 90 bucks just because they're out of print. So they're not like actively being made. So there's like a finite number of copies. Yeah, and I don't think it's on any of the services or whatever.
Think with the new one coming out, they would...
I just saw some people talking about this the other day, that it's like... Very, very difficult.
You can rent it on Amazon Prime for $2.99 right now.
Oh, for the love of God, Andrew.
I was going to say, I saw it on Amazon the other day.
Damn.
Why do I listen to anything you say that's not about KFC?
Damn. I guess...
Now, I do think it was recent that happened. I don't think that's always been that way. I do think it's relatively recently that happened. Okay, here you go. Here's a story.
So
no, here, I'm going to help Andrew. I'm going to help you out. It says that that it is, quote, finally streaming, and that story was from a day ago.
There you go.
It's recent that
yesterday
it's out there.
Yesterday, you would have been correct.
Yeah.
All right. That actually, I do actually feel better about that, because I saw that story like 4 days ago.
Ew, I just put my hand on the back of this chair, and it's so dusty.
I thought you were going to say wet.
Yeah.
No.
I thought you were going to say there was a zombie.
Thank God it's dusty.
This desk in here that I sit at, I keep putting my hand in like new places that I don't normally put my hand, and it's just covered in dust whenever it's disgusting.
I actually cleaned my office a little bit today.
Good for you.
Yeah.
I just didn't want to come back from the break and be like, oh, that's right.
Nice.
Good for you.
I remember that.
Yeah, I got to clean the lunch table in Kevin.
It's pretty dire.
It's got some stuff.
It's got
might
some
just want to throw it out. Let's get a new one.
You should stream that, Dave.
What's that?
The 28 Days Later, not the chair.
Yeah,
you're
sure.
Finally on streaming for the first time ever.
I will watch it this weekend. When does the new one come out?
Next year. Yeah, and then the sequel to that one is the year after that.
Mm.
So they've got another one of the new. So it's 28 Days Later, which is the first. Then 28 Weeks Later is also there. And now this is 28 Years Later, the new one that's coming up.
Which will be next year.
Yeah, and they're all the first two are both good, although the first one is better than the second one.
We were talking with Amy and Chris at the opening of the show about how we're going to remember 2024. I know that no one is a clairvoyant here, but all the things that have led up to 2025, if there's a huge story, anticipated being political, scientific, we cure cancer, the aliens really do live in the ocean. Like, if there is a big story, you got any guesses? What feels about ready to pop?
Oh, I would say maybe AI.
Yeah. Like, just more impact in day-to-day life.
So but 2025 could be the year.
Could be the AI year. Like, the year that AI becomes more than a conversation, but becomes a problem slash help, right? Like, it's going to be both. Mm-hmm. It's going to be like the internet. Mm-hmm. It's going to be both. It's going to be a real problem in some ways, and it's going to be a real asset in other ways.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, I would say 2024 felt like it was kind of like the beginning, right? Because ChatGPT, you know, became a thing you could access, and students have been using it for, to write papers
because
and all
before
that.
Before that, it was just interesting. I wasn't worried. I wasn't really engaged. But yeah, 24 seemed to be the year where people are like, hey, here
and
it is.
And it's more readily available.
I also think that we're going to see class warfare come way more up to the front now that it's entirely possible that huge chunks of Trump's government will be run by the richest people in the world, like Vivek and Elon, like we were talking about earlier. And then there was that story in Newsweek yesterday that they're having trouble with the jury for the Luigi Mangione case because all of the jurors that they're getting are too sympathetic to him. All the jurors are like, yep, I kind of see why he did it. And they're having trouble finding people who are like, I don't feel one strong way, one way or another.
I think we're going to see a sea change in illegal immigration because Trump's already backing off on stuff, you know, because he's not an idiot. He knows he can't bring down grocery prices. Right. And soon he'll be you know, backing off on everything he said. Well, you can't solve the Ukraine war in 24 hours. But he has written a pretty big check with his mouth about deporting a million people and eventually deporting everybody. And I watched a long interview with his new border czar. And he's serious. Someone better get to that guy. Because if Trump's kind of faking it, he better talk to that dude because that dude's serious. And I think it's going to be front and center, of course, unlike MSNBC and CNN, like every terrible story, a family being broken up, people going into camps. I think it's going to be a real issue for 2025. And it could be a Luigi story where you expect people to be up in arms because of the treatment of fellow humans. They might just be like, it's okay.
It's going to be fascinating because I don't know that I think we all would like, you know, when we're talking about this, I think, was it maybe 2 or 3 weeks ago with Mike Elam when he was in?
Yeah.
About how, you know, you start with people that are convicted of crimes. I don't think anybody's going to cry a river about people that are criminals being shipped out. You know, like nobody's going to be upset about that. The key there, though, is, you know, where are they? How do you find them? At what cost do you find them? Because I've seen some estimates that are pretty crazy money to do this. And then that what I would like, I think would be interesting is what's the cost benefit analysis?
Yeah.
How much does it cost compared to how much benefit will the rest of us see from these actions? And I think that will be fascinating to me because what did I see? It was something like for a million people, it's something like $90 billion to get rid of them, to take them all and get them out. And that would, so if there are, if there are 20 million illegals in the country and you're going to try to get them all, well, multiply that by 20. And it takes a year to do a million people. So now we're talking about 20 years and the cost is going. So what's the cost there? And then what's the cost to the economy? What does it mean when you don't have, you know, illegal workers on construction sites? I can tell you what it meant in Florida. If you don't know, Google it. You can search Florida construction illegal immigration. There were a lot of construction sites that just stopped because they ran out of workers because of a policy put into place.
Weird question, a human question, but if you saw illegal undocumented people sitting at a bar and you knew that they were, somehow you knew.
You heard him say it.
Yeah. Would you feel badly for them? That they live their entire life like their plates are expired and they're always waiting for someone, for some trouble to turn into their immigration status? Or do you say, no, that's the least of what you should suffer, is looking over your shoulder all the time?
I personally feel bad for them that they have to look over their shoulder. I mean, I don't think that's a choice you just make. Like, hey, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to leave my wonderful life and go to another country and look over my shoulder the whole time and worry about getting kicked out. Like, that's just not a choice people make. People come here illegally because this is a better life waiting for them. So, yeah, I don't think like, well, that's what you deserve. I'm like, well, I'm so lucky that I was born here. Like, I didn't do anything special to be born in America. It shook out like that, right? So I hate this whenever people are like, oh, you're not an American. We can't open up a path for the dreamers under any circumstance. It's like, why? Like, why are you so special just because you happened to be born here? You didn't do anything to deserve it necessarily, you know?
To me, it's a fascinating thing because I understand on one level there are problems caused by illegal immigration, right? And we want to solve those problems. We don't want normal people, and by normal, I just mean like everyday people. I don't mean American, non-American, whatever. I just mean like everyday people to bear the brunt of the cost or the difficulty or whatever of this existence, right? Of the existence of illegal immigration. So I don't want people that are just normal working people to suffer because of this. At the same time, you've got the other side that Rach is talking about, the human side of it. And if you call yourself a religious person, how do your religious values square with get rid of these people who are simply trying to feed their families because where they're coming from, it's too violent and there are no jobs? I mean, it's such an interesting balance. And I don't have an answer. I mean, the reason this has been an issue for this long, I think, is partly because there's no simple answer. And it's not as easily squared if you try to do it from a rational standpoint. If you do it in an emotional way and you're mad that you think that their presence is causing a drain on you, I understand that. But that's not logical. But also, if you are a very religious person who believes in things like forgiveness, who believes in charity, who believes that the meek shall inherit the earth and that we should be helping our brothers and sisters, if you believe those things, that doesn't seem to square with round them all up, put them in camps, and get them out of here. Interesting.
/226 DGS. Have you guys seen the new Living Coffin?
No.
It is some sort of material that is mixed with mushrooms, and then you lay on a bed of greens and mushrooms, and you're buried in that, like in a conventional grave, if that's what you want. And as opposed to the embalming or even being put in there just naturally in a coffin, it takes 3 years for all of it to break down into compost. And so you're essentially gone in 3 years, but you're a part of the ecosystem.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah.
I think that's cool. I thought a living coffin, I thought it was like...
you live in it?
Yeah, like a coffin too. People slept in or something.
like a coffin bed.
I thought the same
thing. Like Dracula.
I was like, yeah. That seems a little bit...
I'm like, I'll try it, sure.
Yeah.
We'll do it.
Is it comfy?
Last night I was watching, you know, we've all seen the musical reactions on TikTok.
Yeah, I love those.
Where people watch a song. Right now, Long Time by Boston. It's been such a long time. It's a big one right now. And I watched this 20-something-year-old girl, normal girl, who is very expressive and genuine, just completely digging the song, and I cried.
Oh.
I did. One, because I know Brad, the lead singer of Boston. But two, because it took me back. I was 16, I think, when that album came out. And I remember listening and just thinking that there's never been a band like Boston.
Yeah.
And all these years and decades later, to hear open-minded people who aren't like, oh, music sucks, listening to it and just being blown away.
It's fun. I love those videos for all kinds of them, right?
Yeah.
People that are just crossing genres. I do like the ones where young people listen to older music, or like when opera singers listen to heavy metal. I love those. We played the Ram Jam earlier, the Black Betty song. If you've never seen the reactions to that, those are the best.
234 DGS on KMOX. You know who gives me the ick? Tom Hanks.
Oh, why?
I guess because he seems so perfect.
You know what? I'm kind of with you. because it just it seems like because I was watching some people on Twitter the other day talk about how he really started out as like a very like silly physical comedian, you know, very kind of slapsticky and silly like that, and then he kind of like sterilized himself when he got up to the like big time drama roles and the, you know, big time famous roles, and then now he just seems like Mr. Perfect.
He's probably every bit as perfect as he seems, but they're just, do you have anyone like that? Celebrities who just sort of give you a little bit of a...
I mean, there's celebrities I don't like. Do I not like them for that same reason? I'm not sure. No one's like popping into my mind.
Like somebody that just seems too...
Doesn't even have to be seems too good. Just someone who rubs you the wrong way. Which, yeah, is, which is like, there are celebrities I don't like. Oh, I don't like that guy. I dislike him. I don't dislike Tom Hanks. Just every time I see him, I'm thinking.
Rachel and Kevin, what are you guys' least favorite celebs? Who's the one you hate the most?
Oh, gosh.
Man.
I mean, this
let
is,
him have it.
Again, I wasn't like prepared for this, so this might not actually be my number one, but Jimmy Fallon is coming to mind right now. I've just never been.
Oh, yeah.
I don't like the whole like laughing at. Break, you know, like breaking on SNL, that was really annoying. And then his whole thing is like, yeah, I'm so carefree and I want to have a good time with everybody, but then the Rizzler comes on your show and you're mean to him. No, I'm just kidding.
He was mean to the Rizzler, though.
He was
very disrespectful
to the
Rizzler.
Costco boys, which is like, I guess I don't blame him in that situation, but the facade fell a little bit in that moment.
Did you ever see the Rizzler Wheels?
Yeah, I kind of hate it.
You finally did.
Kind of hate it.
Fat little six-year-old.
Kind of hate it.
What would you do if you went to Costco and they were there filming a video?
Go the other way.
Yeah, I wouldn't be disrespectful to the Rizzler because, like, yeah, it's the Rizzler, but he's also, the Rizzler is a six-year-old
child.
He's a
little
baby.
Like
putting kids out there like that.
No, and that sucks.
Like,
and I would be very disrespectful to the Rizzler's father.
Yeah, I don't like
you
that.
Don't disrespect the six-year-old kid.
Mr. Yeah. Rizzler.
I mean, the kid.
Mr. Rizzler, I don't agree with this.
Mr. Rizzler was my father, please. Call me the Riz.
Who do I hate? There's so many. Like, I hate everything Kardashian. I think that is just, I mean, come on, man. Like, why are you famous? Oh, yeah, you did a sex tape. Good for you. Like, okay, wonderful.
And now you're
a billionaire. No, but
that's what launched them.
That's what launched the whole thing. Like, come on, man. Like, what's the talent? What's the specialness?
I will say those girls know how to market themselves. Like, that is the talent.
They know how to make money.
They do.
Yeah, but they also started with money.
Their family is incredibly
wealthy. And you're not going to tell me that dad's relationships, partnerships, I know he passed away, but I mean, you're not going to tell me that that wasn't a big part of getting it all started. You know, I mean, like you had a head start.
Yeah.
You know, like this is not like some, you know, Cinderella story out of nowhere and you made this all yourself. You were the kids of really wealthy parents who found a way. And by the way, they paved a way that other people have followed who maybe have done it a little bit differently. Who didn't come from, you know, a family of wealthy people, but I don't know, whatever. You're born on third base, act like you hit a triple.
What if the Rizzler was a Kardashian?
Yeah, that'd be probably the worst
crossing
of all
the beams.
Things. Yeah.
Razor's Edge?
Yeah, so I wanted to talk about the words of the year. And, you know, we've done a couple of these stories like, oh, dictionary.com's word of the year. Well, these are words of the year from around the world. I thought this was kind of a nice peek into the psyche of other countries and what's going on with them. So in the UK, Oxford University Press chose the phrase brain rot to represent 2024, a word used to capture concerns about the impact of consuming excessive amounts of low quality content online. I think we all know what that means. Just brain rotting, sitting for an hour and scrolling on TikTok and not really consuming anything worthwhile. Australia has a word of the year, but I'm afraid to say it because it has the S word in the middle of the word, so I feel like I shouldn't say it. But it refers to the gradual deterioration of a service or product brought about by a reduction in the quality of the service provided, especially of an online platform, and as a consequence of
that's the one that's
seeking.
Like the essifying of everything.
Yes.
Yeah.
The essification.
Yeah.
In Russia, the word of the year was vibes.
Weird.
So it's been used in Russian youth slang for quite some time, but it still emerges the top choice for this year, reflecting the evolving cultural lexicon. So maybe the youth were the only ones using it in years past, but now everyone's using the word vibes, Russian vibes. In Japan, the word of the year is fute hodo, which means inappropriate. And I thought this was interesting. This is the first time the most popular buzzword wasn't somehow linked to baseball.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. I thought that was kind of cool. Although inappropriate is because there's a Japanese television show called Extremely Inappropriate. You can actually watch it on Netflix here in the United States. And the main character is the advisor of a baseball team. So there's still a connection there somehow. But yeah, this is the first time it wasn't just like straight up about baseball. Austria. You use the word renaturation, referring to the process of returning areas back to their natural state.
Reminds me of when Phoebe made up her own words and she had reconsearchment, which is when you look for something twice.
I like that.
I do too.
That sounds legitimate.
Yeah.
And let's see. Finally, Germany wanted to talk about the traffic light shutdown. That's its word of the year. So I guess they had a traffic light situation going on. And polarization, of course, was the word of the year in the United States, which makes sense. We are tending towards the extremes rather than towards the center. Although I will say, maybe in 2024, in early 2024, we are tending more towards the extremes. Am I the only one who feels like the vibes are shifting a bit and people in general are moderating out a little bit? Or is that just me and my little bubble thinking that?
It's an interesting question.
I don't feel like people are quite... Look, I understand people are at each other's throats, but I don't think it was at the level of a couple of years ago.
Here's what I think has happened. And whether you give Donald Trump the credit or the blame, I think he's largely responsible. But before Donald Trump, I feel like our political parties were well-defined and the Democrats were working-class people. Maybe a college education, maybe not. Republicans were wealthier, college educated, country club kind of people. And all of that has been turned on its head and completely wiped away to the point now that I don't think I think the Democrats will have a very hard time getting back to that. And I think the Republicans have abandoned who they used to be for greener pastures. So I think it's sort of like if we all played a game together for our whole lives, and then one day the rules of the game were changed. It makes it difficult, but it creates opportunities. Like, no, Rach, green no longer means that. That's what red means. And you're like, I'm so discombobulated. I think it forces people to go, okay, I don't know who believes this, which party it is, but here's what I think. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And I think that's always a good thing. When you make people, well, what do you believe? What do you think is important? And the 2024 election was weird, right? I'm hoping that the next one is a little less weird. I don't mind that everything's been shaken up. I think that's fine. My values have stayed the same. I'm probably a little more liberal than I used to be socially, but I'm still a hawk and I'm still, you know, back the blue and I'm still lots of conservative things about that. Personal responsibility, take care of your own side of the street. You know, don't be asking for a handout unless XYZ. But I think that's really kind of what has happened, is that we have lost the traditional cubby holes where you can just default to something. If you woke up from a 10-year coma and you're like, I'm a blue dog Democrat, it'd be like, not anymore. You're not. You're something else.
Yeah, I just feel like, you know, I see things mostly from the left side of the aisle, I guess, to me. And again, it could just be me and my little bubble. But I feel like the left is kind of chilling out a little bit on certain things.
They're very deflated right now.
Right. But well, and here's an example. Leading up to the election, it was like, this election, we have to preserve democracy. Democracy is going to be over if we lose this election, right? And then we lost the election and people aren't like you know, rending, tearing out their hair and rending their clothes right now. Like, people are behaving pretty normally or pretty, you know, it's just not the meltdown that maybe you would have expected from the discourse that was happening pre-election. So to me, that gives me a little bit of like, okay, well, maybe like we're mellowing out a bit. We're not like quite as siloed, maybe a little bit more willing to see the other point of view. Hopefully that's happening with the right as well. Mm-hmm. I don't have as much experience, you know, swimming in those waters, but that's just what I've observed.
Yeah.
Again, could be totally wrong.
I saw a lot of people online, like on the left, reminding each other, as I was reminding people too, in my sphere, that it's like, look, this isn't what we wanted, but we were all ripping out our hair and rending our clothes the first time Trump was elected, and look at us all still sitting here. So it's like it maybe is not necessarily the end of the world that this is happening. You know, we're all gonna live through it.
Looking into it a little more last night. I mean, not looking into it. I wasn't like conducting research, but I was seeing some things about if Donald Trump is able to get rid of daylight savings, that here in St. Louis, at the earliest, the sun would come up around 4:15 or 4:30 in the morning and start getting sort of palpably lighter about 3 in the summer.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm.
And it would get dark about 7:30.
Hmm. See, that's the point of summer, is it's nice that the sun is out until like almost 9 o'clock.
Maybe we bitch about it every year, but maybe we really kind of like what this is. I don't mind it that much.
Yeah, and I'm humble enough to admit that I don't fully understand what's going on. like every time we talk about this, I'm like, yeah, I guess that would make sense. But it's like, it's never fully clicked for me as far as how it all happens.
Yeah. So.
The sun being up until 9 o'clock at night means a whole lot more to me in the summertime than it would in the wintertime, right? So if you told me the sun's going to go down at 7 o'clock across the board, 7 o'clock in the winter, 7 o'clock in the summer. I mean, I don't really care if it gets dark at 5. Yeah, we every year we're like, oh, it's crazy. It feels like it's midnight and it's 6:30 p.m. This is so wild. But like, that still doesn't really change the way we live our life, right?
Can I tell you something kind of sad? I do like it staying later in the summer, staying light later, but at its lightest, latest, I feel like it puts pressure on me to do stuff.
Yeah.
Like when it's still light out at 9, it's like, for love of God, like I'm in bed at 9 during the winter.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't go to bed when it's light out unless you're wearing diapers as an adult. I mean, it's like,
or as a baby,
or as a stupid baby
bed early
who can't poop on a toilet.
Yeah. Yeah. We all know those.
I've met a couple.
That's the word. So my nieces are right at the age where like baby stuff is becoming important, and like we watch YouTube videos and stuff, and things that were cool 2 months ago now are like,
that's for babies.
Yeah, like I don't want to watch any baby shows. I'm like, oh, you are a baby.
Shut up, you baby.
I'm like 30 years older than you. Okay,
like, what do you want me to do about it? Like, you are a baby. You just got the one option here.
Yeah, starting to get light at 3 o'clock in the morning is a little nuts. I mean, that's great for like morning show people or early workers.
Yeah.
That would be really nice. But that also puts a lot of pressure on the people who are like, I like to get up at daybreak and go get my workout in. Like, now we're getting up at 4.
Yeah, Wheels, you could be going to bed when it's still light out. Or when the sun's coming up.
Yeah, I mean, that's probably a little extreme, but yeah, it could be. I don't know. I did all none of this stuff matters to me at all. And it doesn't, but I also think it's partly because I've always had weird hours. Like and when I did overnights, I was going to bed when it was light out. I was going to bed at 6:30 in the morning and it was light out. And I was getting up at, you know, 3:30 in the afternoon and it was light out. Like I've had so many weird things like that. Like I don't sweat any of it. If it's dark now at 4:45, I'm fine. If it's light till 9:30, I'm fine. Not going to sweat it.
It's called resiliency, folks.
It's called being Wheeler.
It's called not giving a crap.